You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Why do you suppose the city has embraced you like this?
I think for the same way that I embraced it. For me, I wanted toughness and effort and attitude and all of those things to be hallmarks in my career. And I think very early, the people here saw it or sensed it in me, and I sensed it in them. And, you know, when kindred spirits, you know, kind of come together, it's a great match.
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times. Here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
Hey Bills fans, welcome to another episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast, and the only podcast that will send Kyle Williams off into the sunset and try not to get choked up in the meantime. I'm your host, Nate. And this is our Kyle Williams Tribute Edition podcast, where we will discuss the retirement of Buffalo Bills defensive tackle Kyle Williams after 13 seasons. And oh yeah, just, you know, some game also happened today. You know, something happened and there's another game played. Mike is in Florida and couldn't make it tonight, but I'm joined by my co-host, John. John, we missed you. We didn't get a chance to talk to you the last couple of podcasts. It's great to have you on for this Kyle Williams Tribute Edition. Are you ready to talk about one of the most beloved Bills in our generation and his retirement?
Absolutely. Good to be back. Let's go, Bills.
All right, man. Cool. Cool. So question of the day, and this isn't more of a question, it's kind of just kind of a thought, is how smart was it of Kyle Williams to announce his retirement before the game today? Because, you know, we've talked on this podcast and we've kind of discussed whether he was going to retire after this season or not. And we were all kind of thinking he would, and I didn't know if he was going to drag out into the offseason. But isn't it so much smarter of him to, like, actually give himself a farewell tour of today's game? Because he announced earlier this week that he was going to retire. Now, if he had let it, you know, kind of waffle into the offseason and maybe decided then it would just kind of be this weird presser in the offseason, you know? Whereas this time, he kind of got a chance to say goodbye to the staff, his teammates, the fans. I mean, it was almost perfect, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it being a home game, it kind of just played out perfectly in that regard. Yeah, I wish I could have been there.
Yeah, same here. Same here. Now, does Kyle Williams, next question of the day, I've got like three of these. Does Kyle Williams become the next Bills Wall of Famer, in your opinion, John?
I definitely think he should be on the wall, for sure. I'm not sure if they do like a waiting period like they do for the Hall of Fame, for the Wall of Fame.
Yeah.
Like, I know the Hall of Fame is 5 years. But yeah, he should definitely be on it.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, he will absolutely be on it. I don't think there's any question that he'll be on it. I guess I'm just not sure if he'll be the next one. I don't know how long it takes. And I think you were mentioning before the podcast, what is it, Cookie Gilchrist was just put into the Wall of Fame, right?
Yeah, so Gilchrist was last year, 2017. And then 2015 was Lou Saban. 2014 was Van Miller. 2012 was Bill Polian.
Okay.
And then before that, that most Bills fans would remember, Phil Hansen. Was on the wall in 2011.
Geez, that was like, what, at least 10 years after he stopped playing. So it takes a little while then, normally. I mean, because you think about it, Fred isn't on the Wall of Fame yet. He's been retired. Well, he's only been retired since last season, really, technically. And, I mean, there's not a whole lot of great players that really that have happened since Phil Hansen, if you think about it, right?
Yeah, so like there's, I mean, you got guys like Eric Molds, maybe. Schoble was pretty good, right?
Yep.
Cornelius Bennett is a possibility.
Yep.
Reuben Brown. One of the guys from the 60s, Butch Bird.
Cornelius Bennett is not on the Wall of Fame?
No, I don't believe so.
Travesty. I wonder if Daryl Talley is, right?
He is, yeah.
Oh, geez, I'm surprised Cornelius Bennett is. But I guess, okay, so next question about that then is, you know, can you remember the last time a Buffalo Bill left on his own terms like Kyle? I mean, if you think about it, he had 13 seasons all with the Bills, which is a feat in itself, right? I mean, when he left the game today, he wasn't, you know, limping off into the sunset like Peyton Manning winning a Super Bowl with Denver, you know, with basically the defense won it and he was just there. You know, Kyle Williams is still playing at a decent level this late into his career. I wouldn't say he's at his peak like, you know, like 2011 Kyle Williams, but he's having a great season, you know, in all terms, it's for being a 35-year-old. I mean, I can't remember the last time a Bill left on his own terms like Kyle Williams. Can you? Like Fred Jackson didn't. Fred Jackson was cut after 9 seasons, and he played with, you know, the Seahawks, and then he ended up retiring last year, you know, after not being in the league for a season, you know. And then Aaron Schoble kind of was released, and then he kind of said he was retiring, but then he worked out with the Texans, and then he was just like, nah, I'm done. You know, it was very unceremonious for a lot of Bills, like we were talking before the podcast, like Jim Kelly, right? I mean, Jim Kelly retired, but it had to do with injuries, and his play had really declined. It was kind of time for him to retire. I mean, I really can't remember a Buffalo Bill since we've been watching retire on his own terms like Kyle Williams. Can you?
No, it's been, you know, with free agency, how it is, and what it's been since the early 90s, it's going to be hard for something like that to happen. I think Steve Tasker had announced his retirement prior to his final game. And if you remember, I think that's the one where he got ejected because he accidentally bumped an official.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yep. Good call there. Yep. Steve Tasker would probably be the last guy. You're right. We did know he was going to retire. He never played for another team. Wow. Good call on that one, John.
But still, he did play for the Oilers before the Bills. So I don't know if that counts in your, I think it was the Oilers.
Okay.
He played a couple seasons for somebody else before Buffalo.
Okay. Jeez, I didn't even know that. Wow. John, local historian on the podcast. Thank you for that. Yeah, but seriously, I mean, even so, and I think that was an away game. I want to say that was like in Green Bay or something like that. Like, it's just Kyle being able to retire in Buffalo, you know, at age 35, 13 seasons with the Bills. It's just incredible. Can't be enough said. We're going to get into Kyle Williams a lot more later, but like, this is our Sunday recap podcast. So we're going to talk about, you know, the game that happened. Plus it's week 17. This is the last time we're going to be able to recap a game until September of next season. So this is a good time just to get into our recap. So I guess general thoughts going into the game. This game didn't matter for either Buffalo or Miami. Especially for the Bills, because the Bills could end the game, you know, they're 5-10 going into the game. They could have ended the season 6-10 or 5-11. It didn't matter. The front office, the coaching staff, well, at least Sean McDermott will definitely be here next season. There's not a question of that. Whereas I guess for the Dolphins, we're still not sure if Adam Gase is going to get fired. As of the time that we're recording this podcast, he has not been fired. I know Todd Bowles has been fired from the New York Jets, which is whatever. I don't really care. But Adam Gase has not been fired. So I guess that's the only thing that mattered for the Miami Dolphins. But I thought the Bills had a great chance to win this game. And obviously they did. The final score being 42-17, the Buffalo Bills over the Miami Dolphins. And yeah, let's go right into stats of the game. Stats of the game brought to you by our T Public store. If you want to find some cool Bills gear in the offseason, you can't find anywhere else on the internet, check tpublic.com/stores/ctwpod. And so as far as the stats of the game, I mean, all right, here's one for you, John. I got a quiz, quick stats of the game quiz for you. How many touchdowns did Josh Allen have today? See if you know this.
Five.
One. How many?
Five.
Nice. Nice. You are 100% correct. Isn't that crazy? Do you remember the last time a Buffalo Bills quarterback had five total touchdowns? Seriously.
Yeah, I was thinking about that after the game. When was the last time any Bills player scored 5 touchdowns in a game?
Jeez, I don't know. That's so unlikely. So
that it's probably been a while.
Yes, definitely. It's been a while since a quarterback or anyone scored 4 touchdowns, you know, one way or another. Josh Allen, 17 for 26, 224 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 interception. There was that one very famous interception, the pick 6, we threw right at Rashad Jones, I believe, Miami Dolphins corner or safety, and the guy ran it right back for a touchdown. That was right before the half. Remember that? It was like within 15 seconds, the Bills had 14 unanswered points against them by the Dolphins. They were up 14-0, and then right before half, they went 14-14. So luckily in the second half of the game, the Dolphins only scored 3 points, and the Bills scored another, what is it, 3-4 touchdowns. So, Josh Allen, leading rusher again for the Bills today, 9 carries, 95 yards, 2 touchdowns, 10.6 yards per carry. Next leading rusher, Chris Ivory, 14 carries for 45 yards. And LeSean McCoy had 10 carries for 26 yards. I get this feeling more and more that they're just kind of, I know it's the last game of the season, so it doesn't matter, but that they've really tried to phase LeSean McCoy out a little bit. Last couple of games, I know last game, we didn't discuss this, we didn't do a recap of it, but last game, LeSean McCoy did not start the game. He was benched by Sean McDermott for a character issue that we're not really sure what it was. And we'll talk a lot more about LeSean McCoy and players in the offseason, but it's just kind of interesting how he hasn't had a good season. I don't think he's looked nearly as explosive as he had in previous seasons. I don't know if that's injuries or if age is really finally catching up with him. Did you notice that, John, at all? It just seemed weird that he wasn't getting the ball more. Because he's healthy. For all that we know, he's healthy, right?
Yeah. I mean, I was kind of chalking most of the season up to the offensive line play. I don't know about phasing out. It's not like they've got somebody like waiting in the wings or anything. They don't really have much of anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just very questionable. We're going to talk a lot about LeSean McCoy and his cap hit in the offseason, and if they're going to keep him or if they should keep him. So real quick programming note, on our podcast network and Buffalo Rumblings podcast network, Matt Rich Warren does who is the editor in chief of BuffaloRumblings.com, does a weekly podcast called Q&A, Buffalo Rumblings Q&A. And he talked a lot about LeSean McCoy and the fact that, you know, he said exactly what you said, John, as far as he didn't know if it was the offensive line at first. I guess we all kind of chalked it up to the offensive line, but he was giving like yard per carry averages, and like Chris Ivory has a higher yard per carry average. Marcus Murphy has one, and even Keith Ford does. So it's like, you know, as much as you want to blame LeSean McCoy, or at least the offensive line, I think it actually might be LeSean McCoy. Anyway, that's a topic for another issue or another podcast. But a leading receiver for the Buffalo Bills today, Zay Jones. 6 receptions, 93 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He looked like the Zay Jones of a few games ago before he caught the yips, and hopefully this is a good sign. In general, I think this was a great sign for the Bills to end the season on a good note. There are a lot of people out there that think momentum doesn't matter or doesn't carry over from season to season, and I agree to a point. But, hey, man, ending the season with your offense scoring 42 points in a game, you know, which ends up being Kyle Williams' last game. I mean, I think that means a lot. I think that's better. If they had only scored 3 points, you'd be like, well, great. You know, now we're going to the offseason with this garbage. So I think it was important that they ended the season the way they did. The next leading receiver was Chris Ivory, 1 reception for 46 yards, which was that amazing play where Josh Allen was scrambling all the way to the right. He happened to find Chris Ivory open, threw across his body, hit him open in stride. There was a lot of yards after catch, and he basically ran it down to the 1-yard line. That was an amazing play. So as far as takeaways go, the Bills recovered 2 fumbles. Shaq Lawson forced a fumble, and so did Levi Wallace. And the fumble recoveries were by Trent Murphy and Jordan Phillips. Very important fumble recoveries. And then the interceptions, Tre'Davious White and Tremaine Edmonds both had interceptions in today's game. Both were great interceptions. The Bills had 4 takeaways on the game. The Miami Dolphins only had one. So now let's go into the Dolphins stats real quick. Ryan Tannehill, 18 for 31, 147 yards, zero touchdowns and two interceptions. It was very common. Ryan Tannehill has a terrible record against the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo. If you were just an outsider, obviously, John, you and I are both Bills fans, but wouldn't you look at like today's game and look at both quarterbacks and be like, man, like if I had to choose between the two, I think I would choose Josh Allen all day, right?
I would, just based on, I mean, even like Tannehill's never played that well against Buffalo, right? So, and has he played that well? Like, where do you rank him, like, out of all the quarterbacks in the league?
I don't know exactly where I'd rank him. I should probably, like, I don't know, bottom to middle of the pack. But, I mean, he's been in this league for seven years or so. He's not going to get any better. I don't think guys like this at this point, their ceiling is ever going to reach a higher level. I think this is as good as he's going to get, and he's not that good. I wouldn't want him as my franchise quarterback.
Yeah, and then you look at Josh Allen, like, he's a rookie, he's going to make mistakes, but look, he's such a dynamic player. He can, like, run, he can pass, he can have a huge play at any given time. Definitely pick Allen, right?
Absolutely. I mean, just talking ceiling-wise, I think Allen has a much higher ceiling than Tannehill ever started off with or ever had. And, yeah, I mean, I'm excited. If I was a Dolphins fan watching the Bills today, I'd be a little jealous. I'd be like, wow, we might have to start over again. And a coach with Adam Gase possibly getting fired and Ryan Tannehill as the quarterback, it's possible that they just, you know, give him the boot after this season. I don't know. We'll see. But the leading rusher of the game today was Kalen Ballage, 12 carries for 47 yards. And Kenyon Drake right after that, 11 carries for 43 yards. Bills did a great job stopping the run. Nobody had over a 4 yard per carry average, minus Ryan Tannehill, but he only had 2 carries. Leading receiver for the Dolphins, Kenyon Drake, 5 receptions, 52 yards. And yeah, that's about all that's interesting from the Dolphins standpoint. Just a great game by the Bills defensively, offensively. Not so much special teams. So before we get into plays of the game, let's talk real quick about special teams, since this is the last week we're going to talk about it as it relates to a game. But man, the Bills special team just laid another complete egg today. So I'm going to talk about which plays that stood out to me from special teams that really just disappointing. And I don't know if we blame Danny Crossman or the team. I guess you can't not blame Danny Crossman. But the first play, I guess, that stuck out was Hauschka misses a 42-yard field goal short, which was he must be dealing with an injury, right? Because this is not the Steven Hauschka that we know. I mean, how often does a field goal kicker in general miss a 42-yard field goal short, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's the one, like, what, house money, right? 50-plus-yard field goals and this and that. After that, he got hurt a few games ago. He does seem to be off.
Yeah, exactly. And that might even be on coaching too, to not let McDermott know, like, hey, Hauschka's dealing with an injury. If he has to kick it more than 40 yards, he can't do it. Like, that should be known as Sean McDermott. So he should be going for it or punting it, you know,
another kicker in.
What's that?
Or bring in another kicker while Hauschka deals with his injury.
Exactly. They're bringing in punters every other week. Why can't they bring in a kicker, a new kicker or something, just to, yeah, I don't know. That's bad coaching, and I don't want to blame Steven Hauschka because he actually has a history of success. Danny Crossman does not have as great a history of success. The other play that was pretty bad was Isaiah McKenzie. It was a punt return, I believe, right? I think it was in the second quarter. And basically, he lets the punt hit the ground. It was a bad punt, and it bounces really high up in the air. And for some reason, Isaiah McKenzie tries to play hero. He lets the punt hit the ground, decides to grab it in the air, and immediately gets leveled by 3 Dolphins special teamers. I mean, his special teams play in general has been pretty questionable. And it's just these decisions. I mean, you and I were texting during the game, like, why is he not taught, like, just to let it go, right? That's got to be a coaching thing. That's got to be either he's not listening to coaching or it's just bad coaching.
Yeah, he's done that before, too, where he, like, runs up, like, 30 yards to try to catch the return or something, just instead of just letting it go, like, safely, right?
Yeah.
Or for catching it. Sometimes he doesn't fair catch it and gets drilled.
Yeah. And then there was also the Matt Darr, the Bills punter for today. I mean, he had a terrible game punting. Big surprise. He had three punts for an average of 37 yards. His longest was 44 yards. I mean, at one point, the first two punts that he had, none of them were over 40 yards. I'm just like, what is this? Is this bizarro world? Like, how is it that the Bills are struggling finding a guy that can punt over 40 yards? Like, what is this? It's like, so you know how we talk about, you know, special teams is one third of the game, right? And I'm just kind of like, well, they're a one third, but they're kind of a small one third. But man, when they're bad like that, they become like a very important one third. You know what I mean? Like they're usually like, it's like a very steep slope. Like you can have great, you either have like really great special teams and it really matters, or like 90% of the teams like have like very average special teams. So they don't really swing the game one way or another. Usually they just are part of the game. And then like, you know, that 10% that's terrible, like they lose games for them. Luckily the Bills were so good today that those didn't matter. But in a normal game, like where it's really close, like the last Bills Dolphins game, I mean, the missed field goal, the McKenzie, you know, punt return, and then, you know, the punts by Matt Darr. I mean, those could cost you a game. And I mean, we haven't heard anything at least yet, and maybe by our next podcast next week we will. But I mean, it's possible that Danny Crossman gets fired between now and then. So yeah, just a terrible game by the special teams. I guess I'd have to say the play of the game, though. I mean, there were a lot of great plays by the Bills offense. Josh Allen running for a couple of touchdowns, throwing for three touchdowns, obviously, were huge. He's finding guys wide open, which is great. I in talking with you, John, during the game, it's just so rare that we've had a quarterback that just seems to find these guys wide open where they can get so many yards after catch. I want to say that, you know, it's just a rarity. It's been something we've mentioned before on the podcast this season. It's great to see. I'm just excited about it. If this is something that Josh Allen can do with receivers and running backs that aren't of the highest caliber, but he's still finding them open and hitting them in stride, which again was a huge knock before the season during his draft profile, was his accuracy. And I know he's thrown some obviously inaccurate balls, but I've been very pleased with his accuracy. Would you agree with that, John?
Yes, absolutely. Specifically that red zone touchdown pass. It seems like a simple throw, but that's a big time throw. It's something that the Bills have lacked over the years.
It's just great to see it. But really, the major play of the game, I think the one that was the biggest controversial play of the game, was when Josh Allen was running for a first down and he slid, which he didn't do all together today. There were lots of times where he didn't slide, which kind of, as a Bills fan, kind of makes you pull your hair out because you want him to slide every time. But this time he did, and Kiko Alonso just tried to spear him, just tried to take a running start at Josh Allen and just tried to spear him with his head as he was sliding. And he misses him just barely with his helmet, but then he kind of hits him with his leg on the way through, which, you know, kind of started a brawl from both sides of the bench. Jordan Mills ended up getting ejected. Obviously, Kiko Alonso ended up getting ejected. And then another player on the Dolphins, 94, whoever, who cares what his name is, got ejected. And it was pretty crazy. That was a pretty heated moment as Bills fans, as we're watching that. I believe it was the third quarter, and it's just, you know, Alonso had been hitting guys late. Ever since he's gone to the Dolphins, he's been hitting Bills players late, whether it's LeSean McCoy or this season with Josh Allen. And I don't know if it was a matter of the fact that Josh Allen made him look silly the last time they played and was just running all over the place and Alonso couldn't tackle him, or if it's just really the piece of garbage that Kiko Alonso is as a player.
Yeah, he's done that with other quarterbacks too, that Joe Flacco play most famously last year, where his helmet got knocked off.
Yep.
And I think he hit Luck late also this year too.
Yep, they show the hit on Andrew Luck. It's just like, you know what's funny? Isn't that crazy how quick of a turn this guy can make? Because when he was here, man, you know, like he was the legend of Kiko. I mean, we loved him. He was a guy that, you know, played with fire, I don't remember him being that kind of player even when he was here in Buffalo. because I don't think as Bills fans, I mean, sure, we would have still cheered for him, but I don't think, I think we kind of have, you know, some sort of, I don't know, I think there's a morality within Bills fans a little bit to say, you know, I don't really appreciate him being, you know, dirty on that hit. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I don't remember that being a thing when he was with the Bills.
Remember you texted me about that, the chick with the Kiko Alonso jersey?
Yeah, I forgot about that.
I wonder how she's feeling. She, the girl that went down and the guy in the parking lot, was that in the video last year or something, or a couple seasons ago for the Kiko Alonso jersey?
His rookie season, so.
His rookie season, yeah.
Maybe second year, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just funny. So it made me think of last season. I kind of started this piece of crap club that basically is, its members include players that are just dirty freaking players against Buffalo Bills players, players that you obviously look at and you're just like, that guy's a piece of crap. Like there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like you just don't appreciate them as a player or as a person or whatever. And I think like, so obvious members of the piece of crap club, Brian Cox, right? Former Dolphin, former Jets. We're growing up, awful player, giving the fans a double bird. He was just always got booed. He was a terrible, terrible player. More recently, Richard Sherman, I put on that list because of his late hit on Dan Carpenter in that game against Seattle a couple of seasons ago that really might have cost them the game because there was a play where the play was called dead and Dan Carpenter just kicked the ball anyway just to do it. And then Richard Sherman dove right into his knees on that play. I don't know. It's just a piece of crap move. He defended it and it was just, I don't know. It made me really change my thought on the player himself. And then there was they're always famous Jarvis Landry, right? Jarvis Landry is definitely part of the piece of crap club. He ended Aaron Williams' career. He's always been a dirty player against the Bills. He's always been taking late shots. It's kind of like where Kiko Alonso kind of picked up where Jarvis Landry left off after being traded this season. And then I even put on last season Rob Gronkowski. This is kind of how the piece of crap club came up, is because of Rob Gronkowski's late hit on Tre'Davious White. And it wasn't even like a late hit, like, oh, he was trying to tackle him and he kind of took a little bit of liberty and hit him anyway. Like, he just kind of like stutter-stepped and then just dove right into the back of his head. Remember that? And just, I don't know. So I'm thinking about adding Kiko Alonso to the piece of crap club. What do you think about that, John?
Sounds good to me, Nate.
So we got Brian Cox, Richard Sherman, Rob Gronkowski, Jarvis Landry, and Kiko Alonso. Kiko Alonso, welcome to the club. So that was probably the most controversial play of the game. There were lots of other great plays. So that was an interesting play, but I think the play of the game has got to be the Josh Allen pass to Kyle Williams for 9 yards. The pass where we all thought he was going to run in another touchdown when they got down to the 1 yard line in the first quarter, but it ended up being a Josh Allen sneak, gives the ball to Kyle Williams to spike the ball for the touchdown. But this play was really cool. I'm glad they drew it up. He caught the ball. He had some open fields, you know, tried to stiff arm a Miami defensive player and got a 9 yard gain. That for me has to be the play of the game. What do you think about that, John?
That was pretty sweet. I wonder if they told Allen not to throw it as hard as he can, like he usually does, so that Williams could actually catch it.
take a little mustard off this one, Josh. Yeah, definitely. He'd have to. That's funny. So normally we go into our Wall of Famer and Wall of Shamer for today's game. Let's go into our Wall of Famer for today's game. Mine has to go to Tremaine Edmonds, ending his rookie season with a really good game. He had 11 tackles, 11 solo tackles, one assist. He had one sack, one tackle for loss, and one interception. It was just a great way to end the season for Tremaine Edmonds in his rookie season. I'm really excited to see what he's going to do next season with one more year under his belt. He really had an impressive rookie campaign. And, you know, just imagine, I mean, this is our linebacker duo for sure next season. Tremaine Edmonds, Matt Milano, those guys are I don't know. These guys could be all pro linebackers at some point, both of them. And if the Bills start winning, I think they're going to get a lot more national recognition, more than they're getting now, which is, I want to say next to none besides Pro Football Focus, which continues to give these guys like really high grades. So I gave my Wall of Famer for today's game. John, who's on your Wall of Fame?
Josh Allen, 5 touchdowns. I wish I knew when the last time that's happened. I know Kelly's done it. Bledsoe? I don't know.
Maybe Bledsoe.
But yeah, that in 2002 he had like 5,000 yards in it or something like that, close to it.
Yeah.
With molds and, but yeah, 5 touchdowns. That's incredible. Like through this whole drought, like the offense has been terrible, and to have a player that can do that, he gets the Wall of Famer for me.
That's great. I can't think of a quarterback the Bills have had before Josh Allen that I've liked as much as Josh Allen, just in the way that he's played, not even in his play on the field, although his play has been progressively getting better and better. He just seems like a likable guy. And, you know, Thad Brown, I believe, showed a video on Twitter of him like last game against the Patriots, you know, giving a high five to everyone, every single teammate coming out of the tunnel, you know, before the game. I mean, he just seems like, even at 22, he's such a young guy. He's a rookie. He just seems like a leader already. And not only, like, some guys try to play that part and be that part, but they don't necessarily get the buy-in from the locker room. But doesn't it seem like this locker room, this team, really buys into Josh Allen being their leader and quarterback?
Yeah, definitely. I think he's definitely has the locker room.
I think this, and he just seems so likable. I mean, I don't know. I know that there was a lot going on with the tweets before the draft and whatever, but I don't know, man. He's likable. He just seems like a likable kid. And, you know, I hope he stays on that path. He's showing promise. We don't know for sure yet if he's a franchise quarterback. It's so early, but I mean, it's exciting. It's exciting to think he might be, which is more than we've had in a long, long time. So, okay. Wall of Famer, we already gave. So, John, who is on your Wall of Shame for today's Week 17 win against the Dolphins?
Danny Crossman, for reasons that have already been mentioned. I don't think he's ever been that good, but he's made it through a bunch of different head coaches for the Bills. So I'm not really sure what's going on there.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why he's still on it. He made it through Marone, Rex Ryan, and now I don't know. It's not like he's good. It's not like he's like Bobby Aprils, you know? It's like I can understand that guy keeping through every single coaching staff or whatever, but not Danny Crossman. I don't understand. And you know, yeah. Yeah, same for me. So my Wall of Shamer is definitely Danny Crossman, which I feel like it's been like 3 of like the last 5 weeks or something. It's been pretty rough. But yeah, so all right, man. So we did our quick game recap. It was a little bit longer than I wanted to. I really wanted to get into Kyle Williams. In our tribute to Kyle Williams, this week announced that he was going to retire. He's the 13-year vet is officially hanging up his cleats after today's game. And after playing, you know, every single game, all with the Bills, 13 seasons, all with the Bills, which is just incredible. 183 games, 103 tackles for loss, 48.5 sacks, 4 forced fumbles, 1 interception, 1 rushing touchdown. 1 reception for 9 yards, 5 Pro Bowls, 6 fumble recoveries, 387 solo tackles, and 1 All-Pro selection. I mean, the guy is a legend. And, you know, I kind of tweeted this earlier this week. If you guys aren't following us on Twitter, please follow us on Twitter at CTWPod. That's at Circling the Wagons Pod. And I don't know. It's weird. You know, you think about when things like this happen, and, you know, someone or something that's kind of been a part of your life for the last 13 years, and it's kind of all of a sudden gone, you kind of start to think about what your life was like 13 years ago and how much different it has and how much Kyle Williams has been like steady and the same throughout that whole time. You know, it's just like you think about 13 years ago for us, like we're kind of new out of college, you know, and this and that, starting careers and jobs and all that stuff. And now where we are, we're in, you know, our 30s, and it's just kind of just how much has changed in your life, my life, different. It's just kind of crazy. And every single time, you know, Kyle Williams just, you know, he brought his lunch pail to work and just, I don't know, just an incredible player for the Bills. What do you think, John, Is there anything that you want to say just in general about Kyle Williams before we start talking about anything more specific?
I think it just speaks volumes about his character that he never took plays off the whole time. And there were some really low points during his career in Buffalo. It didn't matter if they were out of the playoffs or what. He just always played hard and he always played well. You were mentioning some stats over his 13 seasons. Here's one for you. 5 general managers, 7 head coaches, 7 defensive coordinators, a bonus stat, 14 starting quarterbacks during that time.
Wow.
And he just played.
He didn't complain even when they changed him from 4-3 to a 3-4 or whatever it was. He succeeded. He succeeded at everything. You know, he's like the definition of, in my opinion, like a Buffalo Bill player. I mean, you know, he came into the league as a 5th-round draft pick. And you remember that was the same in 2006. That was the same season that they drafted John McCargo in the 1st round. Remember? And we were all thinking
for McCargo too.
Yeah. They traded up for McCargo. You're right. I forgot who they traded with, but yeah, cause Dante Whitner was their first pick that season. And, John McCargo was their 2nd pick, and the defensive tackle was a huge need. I remember that specifically. And then, you know, you were like, okay, John McCargo is going to be the next guy. He's going to be this, you know, defensive tackle we're going to rely on for years to come. And lo and behold, it's this 5th-round pick, you know, out of LSU, Kyle Williams, which you're like, okay, well, defensive tackle is a need. We need depth, right? So this guy's going to be a great depth player, and he's a starter by his 2nd season. And I mean, the rest is history. John McCargo been out of the league pretty much for the last 10 years. And meanwhile, Kyle Williams has been playing at a high level, you know, even since then. He was just, I don't know. He embodied everything about Buffalo as like a Bills player in the fact that like he was an underdog. I mean, based on where he was drafted, he wasn't even that amazing in college. And so like you would think just from an overview, he shouldn't have played 13 seasons in the NFL at such a high level when he entered the NFL. But, you know, he had such a blue collar attitude. He had a lunch pail mentality. He had an unquestioned work ethic and just his character on and off the field. You know, I mean, you see these pictures and images of him, and I just feel like he's just not only like a great person, a great father, a great husband. You know, he's just like something that you would want your children to be like. That's what I want you to look at for a role model. You know, so many, you know, NFL players or athletes or Bills players or whatever that you're just like, I don't really know about that guy. But I think Kyle Williams was just that kind of guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You hit it right on the head.
So what's your favorite memory of Kyle Williams over the last 13 seasons? I mean, defensive tackle isn't really one of those positions where it's like, oh yeah, you know, he scored that 90-yard bomb or whatever, you know. It's not one of those positions where there's easily like, you know, 10 plays a week where you can just pull from. But I mean, in your opinion, what's your favorite Kyle Williams memory?
Honestly, it's probably the touchdown he scored last year against Miami. Helped him get into the playoffs. And just like that whole day, like you see that scene in the locker room afterwards with after the Bengals won the game, and they're showing Kyle Williams there and his kids and all that in the locker room. And it's just like such a great day, such a great moment.
Yeah. You know, I'd have to agree with you, John. I think not so much the touchdown run, although that was really sweet, but that same game when they're in the locker room and they're watching the game and you see that they know that they're making the playoffs and him, you know, letting his emotions loose and holding his children. And, you know, you think of the drought and, you know, we don't talk about it a lot anymore because it's over, thank God. But before that, I mean, who did you put a face on for the drought? I mean, because you wanted the players to make the playoffs, but who was the number one player that you wanted to make the playoffs? You know, for the drought, it was Kyle Williams. I mean, Kyle Williams was there throughout all of the, like you mentioned, John, you had those great stats of all the GMs and coaches and defensive coordinators and quarterbacks he had been through. He'd seen it all. And if anyone deserved that playoff game, it was Kyle Williams. And I remember not only being happy as a Bills fan for you and me and everyone else out there, all the Bills Mafia members, but being happy for Kyle. You know, we wanted Kyle to experience that. And I'm really glad he did. I know this season, you know, 6-10, obviously they didn't make the playoffs. But I'm really happy that he made that one last that playoff appearance that I didn't know for sure if he'd ever get, you know, and he did it. So I posted on Twitter again at CTW Pod. You know, what's your favorite Kyle Williams memory? And so I'm going to read some of these off. Some of these we mentioned already. Last year at Hard Tray, last year the video from the locker room where they found out they made the playoffs, his man tears brought man tears to my eyes too. I will miss him. T-Wass. I'm just going to give the names. It's kind of hard to do some of the Twitter handles. But T-Wass wrote that he was drafted in the fifth round and John McCargo was drafted in the first round. It's a good memory. Here's an interesting fact about Kyle Williams I shared on Twitter yesterday. The fifth round pick that the Bills used on the 2006 NFL draft to select Kyle Williams, the 134th pick overall, was obtained from the Houston Texans in the Eric Moulds trade. So Eric Moulds, we can thank him for that. Thank him for Kyle Williams. Connor tweets out the video of him celebrating with his sons in the locker room as the Bengals scored to break the drought, for sure. I Am Legend tweeted, he shows basically just a gif of the Kyle Williams touchdown celebration where he drops the ball and everyone just kind of falls backwards. All the offensive linemen fall backwards as if it's an explosion. That was a good one. Karina O'Rourke tweeted, watching him take down Brady at Monday Night Football in October was a personal highlight. She tweeted out a picture of Kyle Williams, even though it wasn't a sack. He just drills Brady on Monday Night Football and just brought him down the ground. Cody Miller tweeted his interception. I was like, which one? Was that the one against the Chicago Bears a few years ago? And he wrote back, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the only one, which it is the only one. He only had one interception, but it was against the Chicago Bears a few years ago in the home opener. Christopher tweeted at us, watching the clip of when the Bills clinched a playoff spot after the 17-year playoff drought is up there, but has to be the TD run for me and possibly him tossing Manziel 10 yards back. So that was a good one. I had forgotten about that one. Brandon C tweeted, kicking ass for 13 straight years in a Bills uniform. Alphabet Soup tweeted all of them, which is a good one. That's true. Every single memory of Kyle Williams, you know, just like a general memory of him. I mean, how many times do we see like him just getting off the ball really quickly and just darting through the offensive line? I feel like he's just done that so many times in his career. You know, Jerry Jones tweeted his emotion in the locker room after making the playoffs with the Bengals win. To this point, what I just mentioned, Mark Van Landingham tweeted, every time he employed that supernatural get off when the ball was snapped. I mean, he was just, I don't know how he did it. He just did it. I mean, I haven't seen it so much in recent, you know, memory, but it was just crazy. It was just crazy how he could do that. T-Mac tweeted when he made Johnny Manziel his bitch, kind of like what we had mentioned. I think didn't Kyle Williams do the money sign after that? Like, I think he did. I couldn't find any GIFs or videos of it. Did he do that?
Yeah, I think he did. Yeah. Somebody.
Yeah, I think that was the first time Manziel actually got some real action. He threw a touchdown, gave the money sign to the fans in Buffalo, and then like the next possession, Kyle Williams just didn't even tackle him. He just pushed him right down, and he fumbled it into the end zone for a safety, I believe it was. So yeah, it's hilarious. A lot of other people mentioned his touchdown run and everything like that. So thanks everyone that posted that on Twitter. Actually, after this, the outro music to this podcast is going to be by at Believe 88. She had this really great song about Kyle Williams that she sang on Twitter. I want to share it with everyone that listens to the podcast. It's kind of like the outro music to, it's a little bit different than what we normally do, but it was that good. It was that creative. Not a big Adele fan. John, are you a big Adele fan?
I don't really listen to her. She's got a really good voice, though.
Oh, amazing voice. Amazing voice. Her songs are okay. They're hit or miss for me, but I don't particularly like this song that she's covering, that At Believe 88 is covering, the original song, but the version that she does, that At Believe 88 does, is unbelievable. You guys have to listen to it. It gave me goosebumps when I heard it, and I think it's really a great way to send off Kyle Williams in this Tribute Edition podcast. And yeah, I mean, it's just... I don't know who will emerge as a leader for the Bills with Kyle retiring. I mean, I'm hoping it's, you know, Josh Allen or someone like that. I mean, I guess they're just big shoes to fill. You know what I mean, John? It's hard to think about. I don't know. It's too soon. Try not to get choked up over here, right? But I mean, it's just like the guy just retired. It's sad.
I'm glad that he was here for at least this season with Edmonds and Phillips and some of those guys to kind of, you know, have a little bit of that mentorship before he left.
Absolutely. So they can see firsthand what a true professional and a true, you know, athlete and leader does off the field and on the field, for sure. For sure. And if you listened, I don't know if you saw this, John, there's a video of Harrison Phillips being asked about Kyle Williams retiring. And it's kind of funny because everyone basically said this is like baby Kyle, right? So he was a defensive tackle, you know, similar stats, height and weight. And, you know, he's just like got that, you know, great work ethic that everyone always said Kyle has had, that he has had. And even this season, like, he was getting choked up talking about it, that, you know, in that short time, Kyle Williams has made that great of an impact on these players, these rookies like Harrison Phillips. And it's funny because we all say that in Bills Mafia, like, oh, he's like baby Kyle, but you don't know if he's actually going to be that guy, you know, like you just kind of hope that he's going to take over for him and he's going to be the same guy that Kyle Williams was. But to see that it actually is that way, that he thinks of him in that manner, I don't know, it's kind of incredible. That speaks volumes to the kind of player and leader that Kyle Williams is, you know? It's just something that, I don't know. I'm glad that we were able to see it as Bills fans and kind of enjoy it and watch it for 13 years. You know, it's going to be very different next season with him. No matter what, we'll be excited. It'll be a new season, a new team for the Bills. They're going to make a lot of free agent acquisitions. A lot of people are going to be released. They're going to be traded, and we're going to draft a lot of new players. I mean, players are going to come and go, but I feel like Kyle Williams will always have a special place in all of our hearts as Bills fans. And I know, John, you and I went to the last Bills Hall of Fame induction ceremony when Andre Reed went in like 5 years ago. I always talked about doing it again if the Bills have another player that gets in. I know it's going to be a while. I don't know if Kyle gets in, but man, I think we should make that trip out there to Canton if he ends up getting that gold jacket in 5 years or whenever it happens, you know.
Don't count out Steve Tasker. He should be in there.
yeah, he might get in there, man. I don't know. We might be there going there sooner than later, but yeah, man. So just gonna end the podcast with this. As far as our podcast goes, we're gonna be doing a series of podcasts up to the Super Bowl, where we're gonna talk with some people. We're gonna do some interviews. We're gonna do some locker room cleanout stuff. Just kind of get the off season off on the right foot. All the way up to the Super Bowl. We're going to talk about some playoff games and stuff like that and just some general Bills topics. Just a quick programming note. The Blitzed Bills podcast has joined as part of the Buffalo Rumblings podcast network. It's a great podcast. It's really funny. Those guys do a great job talking Bills, talking pop culture and stuff like that. And then you also have, you know, Matt Warren's, the editor-in-chief of BuffaloRumblings.com's Q&A segment, which he does every week also. That's great. If you're a Bills fan and you enjoy just, you know, listening to questions, I know even though we talk Bills every Sunday on the recap and we discuss everything having to do week to week, I mean, he's just got so much insight. And if you think about it, just in general, like media members, people who eat, you know, drink, breathe, sleep Bills, I mean, Matt's got to be one of the most connected people in the industry when it comes to that. So he has lots of thoughts and, you know, you start listening to him and he just has some things that, you know, I just start to tend to agree with, just over and over again. So that's great. And obviously you have us every Sunday, Sunday night, Monday morning for a recap and just general podcast throughout the season. So, yeah, kind of crazy. This is our last game of the season, sign off, John. So kind of crazy. So to end week 17, John, signing off.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
And for me, Nate, Go Bills. Thank you guys all for listening this season. Keep subscribing, keep listening, keep downloading. Leave us a comment if you can, or a review on Apple Podcasts. We definitely appreciate that. And I'm going to leave it now with at Believe 88's great song about Kyle Williams. We all love you, Kyle. We hope nothing but the best for you. And we hope you stick around Buffalo, and we see you from time to time. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.